بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us yet another opportunity to continue our study session in this kitab, Aqidatu Raziyyin. This is going to be our second lesson today, being the 23rd day in the month of Shaban, 1441, after the historic hijrah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina, which is equivalent to the 17th day in the month of April 2020. We stopped at فَقَالَ أَدْرَكْنَا الْعُلَمَاءَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَمْصَارِ حِجَاجًا وَعِرَاقًا وَمِصْرَ وَشَامًا وَيَمَنًا فَكَانَ مِنْ مَذْهَبِهِمْ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ. This was what we explained yesterday, and today inshallah we are starting with وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ بِجَمِيعِ جِهَتِهِ. Now it's very important for us to keep reminding ourselves of the need to be sincere in whatever we do as a way of reminder. So we should make sincere our intention for attending this class. Naam. Sheikh says, part of the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they believe that Al-Qur'an Kalamullah, that Qur'an is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Qur'an is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ بِجَمِيعِ جِيهَتِهِ. It is not the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of its ramifications. Meaning, مِنْ كُلِّ بِجَمِيعِ جِيهَتِهِ هِيَ لَفْزًا وَمَعْنًا. لَفْزًا وَمَعْنًا. يعني the lafz of the Qur'an and the meaning of the Qur'an, all are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said yesterday, we will try as much as possible to relate each of these points that the two imams are relating to Abdurrahman bin Abi Hatim regarding the Aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that if you critically analyze each of the points, it's a refutation against a particular sect. So this wal Qur'an kalamullah غير مخلوق بجميع جهته, it's a refutation against the Mu'tazilites, the rational thinkers. They say in brief that whatever the human rational thinking that you have to they divided the usul of the religion into two aspects, that you know, those things that conform to the rational mind and those things that do not conform to the rational mind. So whatever does not, you know, that your mind, the rational human thought, has to accept something first before you can now you know, take it as it is in the Quran, in the Sharia, the textual context. Otherwise we will now explain everything based on our rational thought. And that is why they deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. Because today, if you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, then you are actually attributing to Allah the attributes of the creation, because it is only the creation that are known to speak. Now, we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they believe that Allah speaks. But before then, we go back to the Quran. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically referred to Quran as Kalamullah. And we said the fundamental is whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding his attributes, we believe in them. من غير تكييف ولا تمثيل ولا ولا كذا ولا كذا, without you know changing the meaning, without comparing it with that of the creation, without denying the meaning, we take it like Imam Al-Ghazali, Malik bin Anas, they said amiruha kama ja'at bila kayf, you just accept it the way it comes without describing it, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a way of substantiating this point, in Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem, we say Qur'an Kalamullah, wa anna Allah yatakallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, wa anna Allah yatakallam, fa kalamullah min qudratihi wa sifatihi wa ilmihi, and we have to accept the fact that Qur'an, the speech of Allah, is from among the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is able, and it among the attributes of Allah and among the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Allah yatakallam mata sha'a wa kayfa yasha min ghayri takyifin wala ta'til, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks mata sha', whenever he wills, wa kayfa yasha, and however he wish to talk, to speak, min ghayri takyifin, we don't know how, وَلَا تَعْطِيلٍ, and we don't deny that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. Let us support ourselves with the verses of the Qur'an. In Qur'an chapter 9 verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يعني in Surah Al-Tawbah, Allah says, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَعَجِرُوا حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, you know, when the Muslims are at war with the non-Muslims, and one of the non-Muslim soldiers run to the Muslims to seek for asylum. Look at the beauty of Islam. The enemy soldier is seeking for asylum with you. Allah said, فَأَجُرْهُ فَأَجُرْهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, grant him protection. But Muhammad Sharif, حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, so that he may hear the word of Allah. Allah said Kalam Allah. Now, how do we know that this Kalam Allah means Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem? Again, we have to look at the books of the scholars of Qur'an, those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the knowledge of Qur'an. Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir al-Tabari is the father of the Mufassirun, yani its tafsir is the first tafsir, Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir al-Tabari. In the tafsir of Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir al-Tabari, under Quran chapter 9 verse 6, he said, he was quoting Imam al-Suddi, he said, أي أما كلام الله أي فالقرآن. What كلام الله means here in this verse, it means Al-Quran al-Kareem. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to the Quran as كلام الله. And there is a principle also, al-aslu fil kalami al-haqiqa, the default setting of every speech is for us to take the speech in its real sense, so you don't have to reinterpret the speech to mean something else. So kalam Allah, the word of Allah, each one of us know that if they say this is the word of Abdullah, for example, or this is the word of Mansur, it means that Mansur has spoken that word. Al-aslu fil kalam al-haqiqa. So we have to take it by its default meaning, unless there is something that is proven to us that we should not take it by its default and general meaning. So kalamullah, kalam, everybody knows what words are. So when we say kalamullah, yani it has been idafa, you know, it has been attributed to Allah, which means the speech is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope this point is understood. Another verse of the Quran that is very relevant to this point is also Quran chapter 7 verse 158, Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says فآمنوا بالله, so believe in Allah ورسوله النبي الأمي and its messenger, the prophet who can neither read nor write. يؤمن بالله, who believes in Allah, وكلماته and his words, يعني القرآن الكريم, أليس كذلك؟ القرآن الكريم. And even like some mufassir will say Jesus عليه السلام, it's intended, but the scholar said even the narration regarding Jesus عليه السلام was told to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by revelation. So everything goes back to Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Again, in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 109, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئِنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Again, Allah says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the entire mankind, I, لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا, if the sea were ink to mankind, لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي, if the sea were ink for writing the words of my Lord, أي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَنْفَرَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي, the words of my Lord, surely the sea would be exhausted before the words of my Lord will be finished, even if we brought another sea like it for its aid to support it. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the words of my Lord, and here it means Al-Quran Al-Kareem, alaysa kadhalik. So, and if we look at it, we have another principle when it comes to the attributes, the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that principle is that we are conversant with the phrase subhanallah. How many of us know the meaning of subhanallah? Well, subhanallah actually means all perfections are due to Allah and Allah is free from imperfections. That is subhanallah. You are actually saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from imperfection. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from imperfection. So when you say subhanallah, you are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from imperfection. So whatever attributes we have, if that attribute is an attribute of perfection, then we give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's most deserving. Allah is most deserving of having a perfect attribute. Now, all imperfections are not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All imperfections are not to be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let me explain this word in a way. Now, so the attribute of speech, the attribute of speech is what? The attribute of speech is attribute of perfection. Just look at a dumb individual, that cannot be able to speak. Is that an attribute of perfection? If someone is saying, he doesn't even know how to speak, he's a dumb person, or someone that is deaf, in this world, how do you view dumb people? How do you view deaf people with respect to them? We are only saying that, okay, it is seen as an attribute of imperfection for someone not to be able to speak. So how then do you attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I al-kalamu kamal. I speech is a perfect attribute. So the one that speaks is not like the one that does not speak. So definitely the one that speaks has more perfect attribute than the one that does not speak. And we said, وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah belongs all the perfect attributes, examples. So speech is a perfect attribute. So if you say Allah does not speak, you have actually not understood. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ. So I hope this is understood. So being dumb is a sign of being handicapped, and you cannot attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. The Mu'tazilites, they believe that Quran is a creation of Allah. They believe that Quran is a creation of Allah, and that Allah speaking to Musa alayhi salam, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Musa alayhi salam is not to be taken literally. That no, it should be taken, metaphorically. So يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hands of Allah is above their hands. They say no, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually talking about quwwah, not the hands of Allah. I hope this point is understood. Okay, let us move to the next one. So now we understood what it means when we say wal Quranu kalamullah, and those that deny that Quran is the speech of Allah, because they actually deny that Allah speaks. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually, the hadith of the father of Jabir bin Abdullah bin Haram, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he became a martyr in the battle of Uhud, someone saw him in the dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said, Abdullah bin Haram, Allah spoke to him without any in between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah speaks, and this is the belief of the Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah, that Quran is the creation, is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the creation of Allah. And in this aspect, you should understand that today we are having it as something that is very simple. During the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he was actually tortured because of this belief. Because the Mu'tazilite scholars and the leaders of that time, the rulers of that time, mostly were Mu'tazilites. So they actually were pushing this idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak. So Quran is not the words of Allah. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi'i was also at that time, and a lot of great scholars, Imam Ahmad will be beaten, put inside a drum, and be rolled over the streets of Baghdad, because he actually stood by the Aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that is why he's called the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He stood even when everyone was saying, okay, Quran is the creation of Allah. I hope this is understood. وَقَالَ, now, وَقَالَ, and the two of them, this قَالَ means وَقَالَ, يعني أبو حاتم and أبو زرعة الرازي, they continued, they said, وَالْقَدَرُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, وَالْقَدَرُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that قَدَر, predestination, the two of them, the good side of it and the evil side of it, min Allah, they are both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they are both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar. This wal qadaru khayruhu wa sharruhu min Allah is a refutation against two major texts. It's a refutation against two major sects. You have the Jabariya sect and the Qadariya sect. So, وَالْقَدَرُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. The Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe that Qadr, predestination, the divine will and predestination, they are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The good and the evil consequences of it. As we said, this is a refutation against two major sects, the Jabariya sect and the Qadariya sect. The Qadariya sect said Al-Amru Unufun. Who are the Qadariya sects? The Qadariya sects, they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know what will happen until it happens. Please, are you following? They say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know what will happen until it happens. They say Al-Amru Unufun. Al-Amru Unufun, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know when things happen until they happen. So they deny Allah the prior knowledge of everything. They deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the prior knowledge of everything. And under belief in Qadr, under belief in Qadr, there are fundamental things that a believer has to understand. There are fundamental things that a believer has to understand. It entails three major things. One, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything before its occurrence. Are you following? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything before its occurrence. Allah knows everything before it occurs. That is the first thing. Then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge, al-ilmullah. You know, the knowledge of Allah regarding everything is one of the things that you have to believe in, is a principle of belief in Qadr. Please, are you following? It's a principle in belief in Qadr. Maybe you can write this down somewhere. It is one of the fundamentals of Usul al-Iman. The fundamentals of al-Iman, we have the six articles of faith. Belief in Qadr. Whoever does not believe in Qadr is not a Muslim. And whoever does not believe the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the believers to believe with respect to Qadr, then they are falling into a major deviation. So you can write this down. Everything that will happen, there are three things or four things under belief in Qadr. المرتبة الأولى أي الإيمان بعلم الله تعالى الأزلي بكل شيء. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prior knowledge with regards to everything, بكل شيء. Allah has prior knowledge, everything, even before its occurrence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says إن الله بكل شيء عليم, in Quran chapter 6 verse 75. Allah says, "Inna Allah bi kulli shay'in alim." So this is a refutation against the Qadariya sect. The Qadariya sect, they say, "Al-amru unufun." Allah does not have knowledge of things until they happen. Then Allah knows that they will happen. So things are just happening spontaneously. When they happen, Allah gets to know. Subhanallah. This is against the principle of the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding belief in Qadr. المرتبة الثانية, the second principle, أي الإيمان بأن الله تعالى كتب في اللوح المحفوظ كل شيء. As one of the scholars that did commentary on Usul al-Thalatha stated in his kitab, that the second level to believe in Qadr is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything in the preserved tablet, اللوح المحفوظ, everything that will happen. The first thing Allah created was the pen. Then Allah asked the pen to write, and it asked Allah what should it write. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the pen to write everything that is and that would be till the day of Qiyamah. So, and you should understand, for example, if Abdul Karim or Mansur or Abdul Majid or any of our friends here should write a book down, then their writing of that book is an evidence that they have a knowledge regarding that issue before they wrote it down. So when you are writing something down, You are actually writing what you already have knowledge about. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything that will happen. It means prior to the writing of everything that will happen, Allah has knowledge of everything. Please, am I making sense? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُهَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah is telling us in Quran chapter 6 verse 59, Allah says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. With Allah are the keys of the unseen. And these are the five things that Allah made mention of in the last verse of Surah Al-Luqman. You can reference it, you can check it after the class. The last verse of Surah Al-Luqman. So, مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, the five things unknown. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. No one knows them except Allah. Then Allah said, وَيَعْلَمُهَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Allah knows what is on the face of earth. Allah knows what is inside the sea. Allah says, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. There is no any leaf that will fall off from a tree except that Allah knows it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ. MashaAllah. The verse is on the page. And that there is no thing on the land or on the sea that Allah does not know. And there is no grain in the darkness of the heart. No anything fresh or dry, but it's written in a clear record. Kitabun Mubin, yani Allah al-Mahfuz. So everything has been written before its occurrence. Alaysa kadhalik. Then another martaba, al-martaba al-thalitha, al-iman bi mashi'ati Allah ta'ala. Ay wa annahu la yakunu illa ma yasha'uhu Allah azza wa jal. Fama sha'a Allah kan wa ma lam yasha' lam yakun. The third aspect to believe in Qadr is that you have to believe in the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mashi'a, mashi'a. You say masha'Allah if Allah wills, insha'Allah if Allah wills. So bi mashi'ati Allah, you have to believe in the mashi'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ay wa annahu la yakunu illa ma yasha'uhu. That nothing happens except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And we have this famous statement, ma sha'a Allahu kan وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Whatever Allah wills, happens. Whatever Allah does not will, does not happen. So you have a verse of the Quran that will help you that وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ in Surah Al-Insan. Yani Quran chapter 76. Am I right? Surah Al-Insan is Quran chapter 76. It is also known as Surah Al-Dahr. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. You know, and you will not will except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَى وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ يَخْلُقُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. A lot of verses from the Quran to indicate this. So we have the mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing to believe in regarding this is what? Al-Iman bi-anna Allah ta'ala khaliqu kulli shay'in. You have to believe that Allah has created everything. So what does it mean? This is a reputation that Allah has created everything means that even our actions, because the Jabariya, the Qadariya, they say Allah does not know what will happen until it happens. But this is a reputation of the fundamental belief in the Qadr, because we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. Ay Allah خالق كل شيء in Surah Az-Zumar, Quran chapter 39 verse 62. Allah said, Allah خالق كل شيء. Allah is the creator of everything. Ay Allah said, والله خلقكم وما تعملون. يعني أفعال العباد, the Qadariya said, أفعال العباد ليس من مخلوقات الله. They said the actions of people are not from the creation of Allah, subhanallah, because they say Allah does not know what we are going to do until we do them. So as a refutation against the Qadariya sect, we said, wal qadaru khairu wa sharru min Allah. So, and our actions are part of what Allah has willed. Please, am I communicating? Because what is that evidence that is pointing towards the fact that even what we do, Allah has created our actions? But Allah will hold us responsible to that. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Kulli shay'in akachi. So everything, including our actions. So in Surah As-Saffat, Quran chapter 37 verse 96, Allah says, Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amaloon. While Allah has created you and what you make. The scholars of hadith, they said, ma bima'ana al-masdar. So it is Wallahu khalaqakum wa amalukum. Allah has created you and your deeds, your actions. So the ma wa ma ta'amaloon min bima'ana al-masdar. Alayta kazalik. They say, the Qadariya, I'm telling you, exposing the evils of the Qadariya sect. The Qadariya said, Subhanallah, they claim that Allah, and exalted be Allah above what they say, that Allah does not know anything before it happens, and that he does not have any prior knowledge regarding everything. So this belief developed at the end of the era of the Sahaba. This erratic belief developed at the end of the era of the Sahaba. The first person to start this evil belief was known as Ma'bad al-Juhani. Then he adopted the Mu'tazilite. This thought was adopted by the Mu'tazilite, Wasil bin Atta. But the first person to come up with this idea was Ma'bad al-Juhani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman. Am I communicating? So we now know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our actions. According to a Sahih hadith, this hadith has been narrated by Ibn Abi Muhijan, that the Prophet, and the hadith has been authenticated by Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani in Sahih Jami Sagir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I fear for my ummah three things. The Prophet said he's afraid of three things for us after he's gone. What are these three things? Oppression of their leaders, that their leaders will be oppressive against them, and they will start believing in stars, yani astrology. Today, if you go to Twitter, you go to Facebook, you see people believing in horoscopes and all these astrologies, and my star is this and that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually expressed his fear for his ummah regarding this in the hadith of Ibn Abi Mahjan. But the Muhammad Shai that I'm giving you this hadith is when the Prophet said, and the disbelief in Qadr. I fear that my ummah, my time will come when people will be disbelieved in Qadr. They'll say, no, we don't believe in Qadr. Why? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything, then why should we then be forced to do certain things? And people will start saying things that, no, Allah does not even know what will happen until it happens. No, we don't understand this issue of Qadr. People will start disbelieving in Qadr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually expressed this fear. But the scholars say, like Imam al-Nawawi, he said in the Sharh of Imam al-Nawawi ala Muslim, Sharh al-Nawawi ala Muslim, Imam al-Nawawi did a commentary on Sahih Muslim, and he said regarding the Qadariya sect, he said the Qadariya in later times, they believed in Qadr, but they say that what is good comes from Allah and what is bad comes from elsewhere. So they said, no, if there is Ebola or there is coronavirus, COVID-19, the Qadariya of later time, they say, no, you can't attribute this to Allah because it is killing people. If there is bomb blast, they say, no, all these things cannot be attributed to Allah. If there is famine, there is all these things happening, they say, you don't attribute. But this is, we, Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, we said, Allah has created everything. There is good in the evil that Allah has created. Alayta kadhalik, there is good, but out of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, forgotten the verses now, but I think in Surah Al-Anbiya, Quran chapter 21, in Surah Al-Anbiya, or Surah Al-Shu'ara, Quran 20:26 or 21, when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was introducing Allah to his people, he said, my Lord is the one that created me and is the one that guided me. وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ, I think it is in Surah Al-Shu'ara, Quran chapter 26. Masir, can you get it for us on the screen? وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِي. Please, can you get the verse for us? Surah Al-Shu'ara. out of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't attribute when there is because Allah said if evil comes to you, then you should blame yourself, it is from your own hands. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. It is because of what your hands have done. So the evil that is happening, yes, Allah has willed that it will happen, but it came into occurrence because of the evil that men have done, because you have sinned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why you are having earthquakes, that is why you are having pandemics every now and then. Am I communicating? Naam. So this is the Qadariyah guys, and also now you have the Jabariyah. We said this, والقدر خير وشر من الله. It's a refutation against 2:6. So it's also a refutation against the Jabariyah. So the Jabariyah, they say people are mujbar, that you and I are being forced to do, where there is compulsion. Now the verse is here. It said, الذي خلقني فهو يهدين. Who has created me, and it is he who guides me. والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين. It is he who feeds me and gives me drink. Then he didn't say والذي. He said now وإذا مرضت فهو يشفي. And when I am ill, Tarilichewa, he knows that illness comes as a result of what Allah has willed. Allah has willed that he will fall sick. But he didn't say when Allah makes me to be sick. He said, when is I married to? Quickly he now said, for who are yashfin? Because cure is a good thing. Then he now quickly said, for who are yashfin? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. Naam. Now, the Jabariyah text, I want to talk about briefly also, because we said this aspect, وَالْقَدَرُ خَيْرُ وَشَرُّ, is a refutation against the Jabariyah and the Qadariyah. The Jabariyah, they believe in Qadr, but they say that man is compelled to do what he does, and man has no freedom of will. You must have come across people like that. That on Twitter, we meet a lot of people like that, on Facebook, in real life, people that will say, but actually, I'm confused. We are compelled to do what we do. We don't have free will. If Allah has written that I'm going to pray 5 times a day, and Allah has written that so and so person is going to drink alcohol, then actually we have no control over it. So this thought was what gave birth to the Jabariyah. They said and Jabar means compulsion. So they used to describe all actions of man, that man has been forced. And Bakiya, he said that I asked Imam Al-Awza'i and Imam Zubaydi about Jabar, yani compulsion. And Imam Zubaydi said, and this statement I'm relating to you can be found in the Sher A'itiqad Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah of Imam Al-Malikai. Baqiyah, he said, when he asked Al-Awza'i and Zubaydi about Jabar, that our people are forced to do things that they're doing because Allah has written it, anyway, you don't have any choice regarding it. Imam Zubaydi said, Allah is too great and Allah is too mighty to compel or to force anyone. You know, to force someone to do something means you are weak and that person is not obeying you, so you have to force him to do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody is beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for you to say Allah is compelling someone to do something means وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ. You have not given Allah a just measure that is due for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I communicating? So you see, they say lockdown, nobody should go out, but people are going out. So the government now is asking policemen to force people to go inside their houses. Now that shows the weakness, that the government is not able to only command people to do it, but they have to enforce it. So the same thing, that is why Allah said, La ikraha fi din. There is no compulsion in the religion. If Allah had willed that that person will accept Islam, will accept. So when you keep preaching, Allah guides whom he wills. So it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say people don't have free will and people are compelled to do the things that they're doing, then you don't even understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Zubaydi said, Allah is too great and too mighty to compel or to force anyone to do anything. But Allah decrees and creates its slaves according to the fitrah that he likes. يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدْ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. You cannot question what Allah does. Allah says, Allah is not going to be questioned, while you will be questioned regarding your deeds. And Imam Al-Awza'i, and answering the same question that Imam Baqiyya asked him, he said, I do not know of any origin of the word Jabbar. Compelling someone to do something, he said, I don't know of the origin of the word in the Quran and the Sunnah. So I hesitate to use the word. Am I communicating? So he said, I hesitate to use the word. Naam. So, to round up on this issue of Qadr, in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawud, it is narrated that Ibn Daylami, he said, he came to Ubay bin Ka'ab, who was a Tabi'i, he came to Ubay bin Ka'ab, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to Ubay, I'm somehow confused, and I hope this will benefit a lot of people. And that was why I felt, I should bring this statement of Imam Abu Dawud, hadith number 3699, please. 3699. In the Sunan of Abi Dawud. Ibn Daylami, he said, I came to Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and I said to him, I am somewhat confused about Qadr. So you know it's legitimate. A lot of people are confused about it. So if a Tabi'i is confused about it, but the answer that was given by a companion would suffice. So tell me something that will take away this confusion from my heart. You know, Ibn Daylami was asking a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ubay ibn Ka'ab. And Ubay ibn Ka'ab said to him, if Allah, listen to this answer given by Ubay ibn Ka'ab. He said, if Allah were to punish the people of his heavens and his earth, meaning if Allah were to punish all of us and all of the angels, he could do that without being unjust towards them. Wallahi, yesterday Allah had willed that all of us be punished. Nobody will look at it as an injustice from the part of Allah. And if he were to have mercy upon them, his mercy would be better for them than their own deeds. So our deeds are not equal to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if today Allah has decided to be merciful to us, wallahi al-azim, it is not by the virtue of the deeds we do. How many deeds do we have against our names? Righteous deeds. Yet Allah is merciful to us. So that will be the justice of Allah. He said, even if you were to spend an amount of gold equal in size to Mount Uhud for the sake of Allah, Allah would not accept that from you until you believe in Qadr. Wallahi al-azim. Whatever you do of righteous deeds, wallahi, if you don't believe in Qadr and all the four things that we have mentioned under Qadr at the beginning of our session, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything, then whatever you do, Allah will not accept from you until you believe in Qadr. Then he made a very important statement, and I inshallah have a verse of the Quran to support the for his statement. And he said, know that whatever befalls you could not have missed you. Wallahi, if you are involved in an accident, it wouldn't have missed you. Allah has written that it will come to you. If you lost your job, Allah has written that you're going to lose your job. Whatever befalls you could not have missed you. And that whatever missed you could not have befallen you. If you die believing in anything other than this, wallahi, you will enter hellfire. So this is a very strong answer given by Ubay ibn Ka'ab to Ad-Daylami. I've given you reference. It's in the Sunan of Abi Dawud, hadith number 3699. Then Ad-Daylami again, he said, I came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said similar thing to me. Then I went to Ubayfah ibn al-Yaman, sahib al-sirr al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the confidant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said something similar. Then I came to Zayd ibn Thabit, the chief scribe secretary of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said something similar. Imagine, all of them believe in this. I hope this point is well understood. So the verse that I wanted to give you to further strengthen your belief in this is Quran chapter 57 verse 22. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَعْتَوْا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. This verse Allah said, ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم. There is no any calamity that befalls on the face of earth or in yourselves, except that it is in the book. إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. It's in the book, يعني الله المحفوظ, before its occurrence. إن ذلك على الله يسير. And that is very easy for Allah, that Allah should, you know, whatever Allah wills happen, that is very easy for Allah. Then Allah said, لَكَيْنَا تَعْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, so that you do not grieve over the things that miss you, وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ, and you do not become joyful. Yani each one of us express joy when we have something that we we wanted, but that joy should not make you forget that it has been written for you. It is not because you are intelligent or because of your connection that you have gotten what you've gotten, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it before its occurrence. And that is absolute belief in Qadr. So do we have time to start discussing the next line, please? I think we should a bit, please, because so that we can be able to finish the book on time. وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ ثُمَّ عُمَرْ بِنَ الْخَطَّابِ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانِ بِنَ عَفَّانِ ثُمَّ عَلِيِّ بِنَ أَبِي طَالِبِ وَهُمُ الْخُلَفَاءُ الرَّاشِدُونَ الْمَهْدِيُّونَ. So inshallah, subsequently we are not going to spend much time because other things now will just be points in bullet points, single points. So and again, what part of the belief of these two great imams and the belief of the scholars of Sunnah is that وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, the best of this ummah, the best of this ummah is Abu Bakr. Wallahi, if you are not a prophet, Abu Bakr is better than you. If you are not a prophet or a messenger of Allah, then know that Abu Bakr is better than you. Who after Abu Bakr? This is the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Thumma Umar, Abu Bakr needs to dig the truthful one. Thumma Umar bin al-Khattab. Then after Sayyidina Abu Bakr, the best of people is Umar bin Khattab. Then after Umar bin Khattab, Thumma Uthman bin Affan. Then Uthman bin Affan. Thumma Ali bin Abi Talib. Then after Uthman bin Affan, the next person is what? Is Uthman bin Affan. Yes, please bear with the time bridge, please. Then the next person is Uthman bin Affan, then Ali bin Abi Talib, according to this tartib. Yes, Abu Bakr, you cannot put Umar ahead of Abu Bakr. If you do that, you are against the general consensus of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You cannot put Uthman ahead of Umar radiallahu anhu, and you cannot put Ali ahead of Uthman bin Affan, even one of the sons of Ali bin Abi Talib believed that his father is ahead of Uthman. So the scholars didn't have issue with Abu Bakr, Umar, but the contention is whether Ali is above Uthman or Uthman is above Ali bin Abi Talib. So you have some scholars, but over time it has come to be settled that Uthman, thumma Ali bin Abi Talib. I hope this point is understood. Uthman, then Ali, even though we have people of reputable scholarship amongst the scholars that believe that Ali is ahead of Uthman, and we say foremost of them is one of the sons of Ali bin Abi Talib himself. وَهُمُ الْخُلَفَاءُ الرَّاشِدُونَ الْمَهْدِيُّونَ. These are the four rightly guided caliphs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this, remember my methodology of teaching this kitab. Each line is a refutation against a particular sect. So this particular line is a refutation against the Shi'ites. Subhanallah. Now you've known the Murja, the Mu'tazilite, the Jabariya, the Qadariya, the Khawarij. Now we are talking about the Shi'ites. All these things, these are different sects, misguided sects under the umbrella of Islam. So this particular line is a refutation against the Shi'ites. Why? Now, the Khawarij, they are together with Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding the status of Abu Bakr, regarding the status of Umar bin Khattab. Some of them do not believe in the status of Uthman bin Affan. They believe that Uthman is illegitimate caliph. Some of them killed Ali, and this is another lecture entirely, and inshallah I hope we're going to be sharing it. I will be having a series on the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keeping up with the Sahaba in this Ramadan inshallah. It's going to be a video series with one of the satellite channels. Inshallah we're going to be sharing the clips, 30 minutes. So this is an entirely seerah and biography. So we're not going to dwell much on this aspect, but know that this line is a refutation against the Shi'ites. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a great scholar. His name is Abdullahi, and is also the name of Abu Bakr is actually Abdullah. Please write it down. And I want a lot of people to tell us during Q&A if they are just getting to know for the first time that the name of Abu Bakr is Abdullah. His name is Abdullah, and this was even his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha, she said his name, she said, قَالَتْ إِسْمُ الَّذِي سَمَّاهُ أَهْلُهُ بِهِ Abdullah. He said the name that Abu Bakr was given by his family is Abdullah. So the name of Sayyidina Abu Bakr is actually Abdullah. وَلَكِنْ غَلَبَ عَلَيْهِ عَتِيقُ. He said, however, Aisha radiallahu said, however, Atiq became the popular name that Sayyidina Abu Bakr was known for. Atiq. He was known as Atiq. And this is can be found in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, Kitab al-Manaqib, Bab al-Manaqib, Fi Manaqib Abi Bakr wa Umar. And this also in Sir Alam al-Nubala, the second volume of Sir Alam al-Nubala, page 415. So his name is Abdullah. Is also known as Atiq bin Abi Quhafa. Atiq bin Abi Quhafa ibn Amir bin Naam. Look at the status of Abu Bakr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in an authentic narration, the Prophet said, "Ma nafa'ani malun qattun malu Abi Bakr." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahi, nobody's wealth has benefited me ever qattun. That is qattun. Nobody's wealth has benefited me. Ma nafa'ani malu Abi Bakr as the wealth of Abu Bakr." So nobody has ever spent on Islam the line like Sayyidina Abu Bakr. So what is your take home about Abu Bakr? You will spend on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in the ranks of Abu Bakr. The Prophet said, nobody's wealth has ever benefited me. Ma nafa'ani malu Malun qattun ma nafa'ani malu Abi Bakr. Wallahi, nobody's wealth has ever benefited me like the wealth of Abu Bakr. This sixth volume, and you have the Shiites cursing Abu Bakr. This is what the Zagzagis are doing. This is what the Zagzagis are doing. This is what the Iranians are doing. Even though among the Shiites, you have different sects among the Shiites, there are some of the Shiites that do not curse Abu Bakr. Neither do they curse Umar, neither do they curse Uthman. But they only believe that Ali is better than all of them, and that Angel Jibril made mistake when he was asked to, give prophethood. He gave prophethood to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against Ali bin Abi Talib. So you have different sects within the Shiite sects, but the most dangerous of them are the Ithna Ashara Shiites, which the Zagzagi is part of, which the people of Tehran, Iran, is the official Shiite sect in Iran. And you have a lot of them in other Arab countries and also in some parts of Africa. So in essence, this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is what we believe as against what the Shiites believe. The Shiites insult Abu Bakr. From Umar, they curse Umar. After each of their prayer, it is part of the belief of the Shia that they will curse Abu Bakr, they will curse Umar bin Khattab. And we believe these are great companions. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yabghadu Aba Bakr wa Umar mu'minun wa la yuhibbuhuma munafiq. This hadith akhrajahu al-Khatib al-Baghdadi fi tarikhihi, in the tarikh of al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, he brought the narration of Jabir bin Abdullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yabghadu Aba Bakr wa Umar mu'min, a believer does not hate Abu Bakr and Umar. وَلَا يُحِبُّهُمَا مُنَافِقٌ, and a hypocrite does not love the two of them. So anyone that you see hating Abu Bakr and Umar is a munafiq. Anyone that you see loving Abu Bakr and Umar is a mu'min, according to the narration of Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. We have a lot about these people. So what I will encourage you to do is to read about these great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe that the best of this ummah, ba'da nabiyya, after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no one that is better than Abu Bakr, than Umar, than Uthman, than Ali bin Abi Talib. And these are the four rightly guided caliphs. Inshallah, we'll continue from where we stopped. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. You can now forward your questions, inshallah.